you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. That was James 1, 2 through 4.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, May 22nd, 2026. Marching right along into this month. Wow, we're going to be talking about June in just like a week or so. It's kind of hard to believe. We'll be halfway through the year in another month. We'll be talking about Thanksgiving and Christmas in no time. Oh, no. Anyways, I'm glad you're joining us for today's edition of Mark and Friends, the Friday edition. We're continuing our study through the book of James, and we come to a topic that most all of us can relate to, trials. Oh, are you going through trials? I hope you're tuned in. I think it could be a divine appointment where you're going to learn through some of our discussion and our conversation facilitated by Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church in Springfield. But trials, how should we respond when life becomes difficult? Can God actually use hardship to shape, strengthen, and grow us? Today's conversation reminds us that even in the middle of challenges, God is still at work, and he never wastes our struggle. Let's learn together from the wisdom found in James chapter 1. And I appreciate Liz joining us today to read that scripture. And as Mark mentioned last week, and we'll probably mention this a bunch of times, James is a book that's chock filled with practical wisdom and points of application. It's kind of like a companion to the book of Proverbs. There's so many good nuggets and things to think about and pray up and think through. And so I hope in the coming weeks, as you join us on Fridays, you're going to be blessed by this book of James. And last week we talked about who is James and who is Jesus. How do we look at Jesus? Do we see him as our Lord and Savior, or just a Bible teacher or a rabbi or a miracle worker or somebody who existed on earth 2,000 years ago? Oh, listening friends, I hope you'll stay with us, because Jesus is Lord. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's our Savior. He's the Savior of the world. And I hope that you'll come to know him in a personal way, because he's the one true hope for us all, to have that relationship with Jesus so that we can spend eternity with God. And Mark knows all about pointing people towards Jesus and this book of James. You could have picked a lot of different things after we did the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. Why the book of James?
The book of James is this book of wisdom, and it's countercultural in many, many ways. And so you look at this book, and it starts off with James identifying himself, but mainly identifying himself in relationship to God and to Jesus. And then he identifies who he's writing to. He's writing to the believers who have scattered around the known world because of the persecution. And then he dives into, when we talk about wisdom, he dives into this thing that is, this is one of these verses, verse 2, that when you read it, you go, what? What are you talking about? He says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. That's when I go, stop. Yeah. what are you talking about? You know, what's going on? Consider it joy. He says there's something God's doing in you through this trial if you'll allow him. So let's think of it this way. If you have two people working on an old dilapidated car, and they spend months working on this car. They scrounge for the pieces. They clean the car. They repair and replace things. And finally, they think they have the engine where it's ready to go. And what do they say? Let's give it a try. Mm. Let's see how good it runs. Let's see if we've gotten any place. Well, there's going to come a point in time when God says, let's see how good we're doing. Mm. Let's see where you're at. Mm. So you think about this way. Somebody walks into a kitchen, and there's the smell of fudge in the air.
Getting hungry.
Yep. And the cook puts a spoon down in the mix and hands it to the newcomer and says, give it a try. Mm. it's not just for the smell, it's for the taste. They want to know, how does it taste? It's not just meant to be smelled, it's meant to be eaten. So James lets us know that faith has been birthed in us. God has placed it in us. And now here comes the uncomfortable truth. It's going to be tested. He doesn't say, if you face trials. He says, whenever you face trials. Every believer, every follower of Christ is going to face trials. You may have been saved for a minute and a half, and everything may be flying sky high, and people around you may say, oh, you're going to face some trials. And you go, no, I'm going to be on this mountain peak the rest of my life. Well, great man of faith that I am, I'm going to tell you, no, you're not. You know, you're going to go through some trials because God is building something in you, and he uses the trials to do that.
But doesn't everyone that exists face various trials or heartaches because of this fallen state of the world? So if somebody's driving to work today, maybe they're not a believer, haven't come to terms with who Jesus Christ is, and maybe don't even believe there's a God. Don't they also face trials?
Yeah, they certainly do, but the outcome is different. The foundation of God in their life is not there. There's no hope. There's no promise to them that there is going to be an outcome that is working for their good. It is the one who loves God, who seeks God. So I would say to that person, if you're going through a trial, the hope for that trial is that you put your faith in God and say, God, do in this trial what you would have happen in my life.
Is that why he can say, consider it pure joy? Because none of us face trials with joy. I mean, that's a hardship. It's agony. We don't like it. But because we know there's something beyond this, because of God, we can have the purest of joy.
Let's go back to our definition. Wisdom is how to apply knowledge. It's doing the right thing. You know, you can read all kinds of books about how to raise your child, but if you don't have wisdom, you're going to mess it up. You need the wisdom of God. James is looking at us and saying, hey, let's get smart here. God's going to allow you to face some trials. He's doing that to work out patience in your life, completeness in your life, wholeness in your life. And if you trust him, if you put your faith in him, you'll see that trial differently than somebody who doesn't know that outcome.
If you're never compared to the standard, you never have to fall short of the standard, but you'll also never get better.
You'll never get stronger. A trial is not a temptation to sin, but it is a test of our faith. Faith is easy when everything's going my way. Faith is easy when I'm in control. Faith is easy when things are going as planned, when I'm being blessed and I understand how it's all going to work out. But faith has to do when you have none of those things, when you're not sure how it's going to work out, when things are unfair, when things are not going the way you planned. That's when you sit and say, okay, God, am I in the middle of your will? Am I doing what you'd have me to do? And if I am, if I'm walking according to his truth, then I can count on his promises. Mark, I heard an illustration years ago, and it talked about this guy. He was going to go across Niagara Falls on a high wire. And this is a common illustration. And he says, how many thinks I can do that? And everybody raises, oh, they think they can do that. And he brings out a wheelbarrow. And he says, how many thinks I can take this wheelbarrow across? They're, oh, yes, 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 you can do that. He goes, okay, who'll get in the wheelbarrow? And I heard somebody say, well, faith is getting in the wheelbarrow. Right. Well, I would disagree with him. Faith is when you get halfway across Niagara Falls and the guy dumps you out and you're falling and you say, God, I still trust you. You know, I still trust, because sometimes it feels like we've fallen out of the wheelbarrow. Sometimes life feels like we are crashing in a hurry. Am I going to face that moment in fear? Am I going to face it in anger at God? Am I going to face it in disappointment? Or am I going to say, hey, God's doing something in my life. God's doing something in my life. And all this will be redeemed someday. Do I still trust him?
Now, Mark, you would usually say something like this, and I'm looking at verse 2 where it says, face trials of many kinds. And you would probably say to the group, what are some of those trials you've faced? What are the many kinds of trials? So I'm throwing it out to everyone. What are some of the trials you faced in your life?
The loss of a child.
Loss of a child.
That's hard.
I would say being judgmental. is a big trial for me. And when I catch myself going down that road, I stop and thank the Lord that He is not judgmental of me. So I need to share that.
I was thinking you were going to say when people are judging you and how that would feel not only uncomfortable but unfair.
Right.
Divorce.
Health issues, job security. I mean,
rumors.
Rumors from people.
So, Mark, you think about a car and you want all the pieces to work. You don't want your children in the back seat of your car and all of a sudden the latch on the door not work. You want the latches on the door to work. You don't want the hood of the car to pop open while you're driving down the road. You want everything to work, not just the running of the car, but every detail of it. You don't want the tires to go flat. You don't want any of those things. So you want everything to work. And so we look and we check and we make sure that they do. In the believer's life, the question is, will we trust God in every test that we face? When things that would make the old man crumble in despair, make the old man emotionally break down and not be able to survive, make him overwhelmed. Do I have confidence to walk through the trial? That comes by knowing that God is my God and that Jesus is my Lord. So will I remain kind when I'm frustrated? Will I remain faithful when I'm tired? Will I remain loving when others aren't loving to me? Will I be forgiving when people are unkind to me? Will I protect my testimony? So think about this. If that forgiveness is going to be tested, I'll forgive people if they do something to me. What has to happen for you to be tested in forgiveness? Somebody has to do something to you. And something has to happen. I've had a lot of people, if I would have been with David, I would have faced the giant. Well, until you face the giant, you don't know what you would do. You know, you've got to go through the situation. The health issue comes. Will I trust God in the middle of the health issue? Will I trust Him? Will I be patient? Will I say, God, why do you have me here? What is the purpose for me being here? How do you want to use me in this? Will I be kind when others are not kind? Will I protect the testimony of God? Or in many, many years, what about money? And what about marriage? And what about our tempers? And what about our fears? Will I follow God and be developed? James is telling us, hey, the trying of your faith worketh patience. It brings you to completeness. So instead of looking at that trial as something that is, this is harmful and painful, look at it as, hey, this is God allowing me to be developed into the fullness of His will.
Yeah, those refining fires. And I think last week we talked a bit about this, but verse 1, James's perspective or his identity was that he was a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you get that perspective or you have that identity, then you can look at the various trials that you're facing as maybe refining fires to make you more of a faithful disciple of Jesus or God's ambassador.
You know, sometimes at church I may ask a question like, how many of you are going through a trial? And, you know, 80%, 90% of the people will raise their hand. And I typically look at the rest of them and think, yeah, you probably are. You're just not raising your hand today.
They are, or someone they know is, or they're about to be in one of those two categories.
Right. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world where trials are prevalent. And God is using that trial. We're not even in the millennium yet. Millennium's going to be great. It will be perfect. The new heavens and the new earth will be perfect. But while we walk in this, the church age right now, where we're ambassadors in a fallen world, we're going to face trials from time to time. And you're going to face uncertainty. You're going to face things that you look at and you go, I don't know how I get out of this. Mm-hmm. Trish mentioned the loss of a child. How do you get out of that grief? How do you overcome that loss? It's not by anybody's man. The pastors, we want to have right words to say. There are no right words to say. There's nothing that won't seem trivial in that moment. That may be the right thing and may be the truth, but boy, the weight of it coming out of a man's mouth is very trivial. And so we have to be careful what we say. The truth is, The only way to get there is by the presence of God in your life. The only thing that can sustain you is His voice. So we can know His promises. His promises can be real to us. And I can look at the situation I'm in and go, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, but I know God. I know the greatness of God.
Well, I like verse 3, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work to bring us to maturity and completeness. I think this refers back up to verse 2 in Count It Pure Joy, because we know the testing is growing us, and the Lord is doing that growing if we're open to it. And perseverance is what we must do in all of our lives. We've got to get up if we fall down and keep going. You know, don't quit.
Liz, you think about that. We come to Christ as fallen creatures. And the grace of God is offered to us. But really, what kind of prize are we anyway? You know, we're not doing Him any favors by coming to Him. He's doing us a favor.
Amen.
We come to Him broken and fallen, and He looks at us, and we got to understand He's going to do what we call a sanctifying work in our life, bringing out holiness. Now, how does He do that? He does that many times through trials.
Yes.
He's teaching us to persevere. He's teaching us to stay faithful. He's teaching us, no, don't do it that way. Do it this way.
It's not punishment.
No.
Sometimes I think we might look at it like that if we really don't know the scripture.
Sure. Where's God? What are you letting this happen to me?
Right, right.
God's doing something in us.
Right.
Do we trust Him?
Yeah, right. Those sanctifying fires that many of us have gone through, it's that refining process. Yep. I mean, that's how we become more like Jesus.
Will I trust Him in my darkest hour?
Yeah. Yes.
Will I trust Him when everything seems hopeless?
Yeah, I've always said to people, it's easy to be friendly and sociable and nice when you're on the cruise ship. You know, you're on that vacation, everyone's happy. But it's when you're pressured by work and life experiences and tragedy and heartache that the true character oftentimes can come out.
As Job said in the depths of his trial, though He slay me, yet I will trust in Him.
Yeah. You know, and Mark, I want to be clear, because there's a place where we miss it. It's not just the darkest hours. Sometimes the trial is in the opportunity. So my dad used to tell the story about the evangelist that came to his church, and he was there for several weeks of meetings years ago. And there was a family that was faithful every night. They had to walk quite a ways across town, the family did, to get there and to be at church. They didn't have a car. And at the end of this revival, this evangelist had recognized that, and he called this family up, and he said, let's pray for them that they'll get a car. And they prayed for them to get a car. That evangelist was back a year later, and that family was not around the church. And he asked my dad, what happened to that family? And my dad said, you prayed them out of church. He said, what do you mean I prayed them out of church? He said, you prayed for them to get a car. They got a car. And now they always have some place to go. They always have some place to take off to. The opportunity was the downfall for them. They got the blessing, and the blessing became a trial that tested them, and they weren't faithful to the house of God anymore. Sometimes the trial comes in a blessing. We all think of the trials that come to us when it's a troubling time, and those have to be dealt with in faith. But also the ones that are a blessing can lead us to falling away from God.
When you started saying that, I wrote down, how do we act when things are going great? Yeah, and like that could be an example. Are we giving God the credit, or are we patting ourselves on the back saying, look at what I've earned, I deserve, my skill sets achieve this? And really, that's terrible.
Yeah, if it takes faith to get through a negative trial, it takes faithfulness to get through a positive one.
I heard a guy once, an evangelist in our church, and he talked about this guy that came up to him at church, and he said to him, I need you to pray for me. He goes, when I was making $100 a week, I could tithe. But now I'm making $1,000 a week, and it's hard for me to tithe. Now it's hard for me to give up that much money. And so the evangelist put his hand on his shoulder and said, God, please take him back to $100. Yeah. The guy said, whoa, no, don't do that. Don't pray that. He said, brother, I'd rather you be faithful in $100 than unfaithful with $1,000.
Yeah.
You know, am I going to be, as Tim said, faithful? So sometimes the blessing is the test of faithfulness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, listening friend, I hope you've gleaned some truth, some directive to seek after God, to follow in his ways. We looked at James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. They're going to come. We're going to face them. Are we going to be grounded in God's word, in his love, in the realization that he cares and he's working to refine us, that sanctification process? It's not easy. It hurts sometimes when we're in those refining fires, but we need to be proven. We need to be faithful disciples and ambassadors of God. And people are watching. They're seeing how you're responding to the trials you're in. As mentioned, we can be friendly when we're on vacation on that cruise ship enjoying the good life. But are we faithful when things are difficult, when they're hard to understand, when we're being tested by God in various ways? But he'll always see you through, and there's an eternity, a destiny for you where there won't be heartache or suffering or pain. But we want to be proven and following him faithfully here on earth. So if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to hear it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org, and you can listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. We'll continue with our series through the book of James on Fridays. And because we only got one verse looked at today, we'll probably be in this for many months in the days ahead. But I hope you're blessed and continue to read James, maybe on the weekend or as a daily habit. It's only 5 chapters long, so maybe all week, Monday through Friday, read a chapter, think about it, ponder it, ask God to lead you into the truths, the nuggets that you can take into your workplace, wherever you go, as you go. And so this book of James, I'm excited because of Mark's preparation and his desire to teach it and to share it with us all. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Mark Johnson with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.